Okay, let's dive in. Have you ever rolled out some new tech? Maybe at work, or even just a new gadget at home.
Oh, definitely.
And you watch, and some people just jump right on it, they love it, while others, well, they just don't.
Yeah, it's a common experience. It's often less about the tech itself, isn't it?
Exactly. It's really about
Yeah.
whether people actually, accept it and start using it.
That's the key, yeah. Getting it adopted is one step, but having it truly integrated, part of the workflow or daily life, that's different.
And figuring out the why behind that.
Yeah.
Why it clicks for some and not others. That seems pretty crucial.
Absolutely. And that's actually what we're digging into today.
Right. We're doing a deep dive, looking at a framework that tries to explain this whole technology acceptance thing. Our source material today discusses something called the Unified Theory of Acceptance and Use of Technology. Bit of a mouthful.
Usually just called UTAU, yeah.
It's.
A significant model developed back in 2003 by Venkatesh and his colleagues.
Right, Venkatesh, Morris, Davis, and Davis. And their goal was pretty ambitious, wasn't it?
Yeah, it really was. They looked at, I think, eight different theories that were all trying to explain tech use, and they aimed to sort of combine them, unify them into one stronger model.
So our mission for this deep dive is to really unpack this UTAT model. What are its main parts? What does it tell us are the key things that make you decide, yeah, I'll use this new tech, or, just give it a pass.
Okay, so let's start with the core idea. The UTAT model basically says there are four main factors that directly predict whether someone will accept and use a technology.
Four direct factors. Okay, what's number one?
The first is performance expectancy, PE for short.
PE, performance expectancy. What's the gist of that?
It's pretty much what it sounds like. It's your belief, your expectation that using this specific technology will help you do your job better or achieve whatever goal you have more effectively.
So if I think this new software will make me faster or produce better results?
Then your performance expectancy for it is high.
Yeah.
You expect a performance gain.
Seems logical. But the source mentioned something interesting about how performance isn't always the same thing to everyone.
That's a really key point. Right. Think about teachers, for example. One teacher might see performance as boosting standardized test scores. For them, tech that helps with drills might look great.
Oh.
But another teacher might define performance by, say, students collaborating creatively. Their ideal tech would be completely different. Maybe tools for project work, video creation, that kind of thing.
Ah, so the perceived benefit has to align with their specific goals.
Exactly. If you're rolling out tech, you need to understand what performance means to the users. You can't just assume one benefit fits all.
Got it. So PE is high when the tech is seen as better than the old way and helps achieve your specific goals quickly and well.
That's it. It's about relative advantage and outcome expectations from the user's viewpoint.
Okay, makes sense. What's the second direct factor?
That one's called effort expectancy, or E.
E. Effort
Yeah.
expectancy, sounds like. How easy is this thing going to be?
You nailed it. It's the perception of ease of use. How much mental effort do you think it will take to use this technology?
Okay. And the source said this one. Its importance changes depending on how familiar you are with the tech.
Yeah, that's right. So when you're brand new to something, think about the first time you used complex software.
Oh, yeah. Total confusion.
Right. The cognitive load, the brain power needed just to figure it out, often feels way higher than any benefit you're getting yet. It feels difficult, maybe frustrating.
The steep learning curve.
Exactly. But then, fast forward, once you're really familiar with it, using it becomes almost automatic. The perceived effort is minimal.
Like you don't even think about it anymore.
Precisely. Now, the crucial bit the model points out is that effort expectancy is especially important in the middle ground.
What do you mean, middle ground?
Like after the initial training, but before you're totally fluent with it. In that phase, if the technology doesn't start to feel easier, if the effort still seems high compared to maybe your old methods.
Then people might just give up on it.
Exactly. Adoption can stall right there. So ease of use perceptions are critical, especially in that post-training, pre-mastery period.
Interesting. So just providing training isn't enough. It needs to feel like it's becoming less effortful relatively quickly.
That's a key takeaway. Okay, factor number three, social influences, SI.
Social influences. Okay, this is about what other people think, like peer pressure.
It's definitely related. It's about how much you perceive that important people around you, your boss, your colleagues, maybe even family or friends, depending on the context, believe you should be using this technology.
Ah, so it's their expectations.
Yeah, expectations from important others, but also maybe broader cultural norms about using tech and even how using it might affect your social status.
The source had that example of a new teacher.
Yeah.
They might come in thinking tech is vital. Maybe that's the culture they came from.
Right, but then maybe their more experienced colleagues are dismissive, saying it's not important.
Creates a conflict.
Mm.
What does my peer group think versus maybe a broader expectation?
Exactly that kind of social dynamic. And the model actually draws on social psychology here, talking about different levels of influence.
Levels, like different strengths.
Yeah. The first level is compliance. This is the weakest. You use the tech basically because you have to get a reward or avoid getting in trouble.
Like a required software you only use for the mandatory parts.
Perfect example. You're complying, but not really bought in. Then there's identification. This is stronger.
Okay.
Here, you use the tech because you identify with a person or a group that uses it. You admire them or want to be part of that group, so you model their behavior.
Like adopting tools your respected mentor uses.
Exactly. And the strongest level is internalization.
Internalization. What's that?
That's when the social influence becomes part of your own value system. Mm-hmm. You believe using the tech is the right or best way to do things. It feels natural. You might even start expecting others to use it too.
Wow. So just forcing people. Compliance isn't the goal. You want people to either identify with users or ideally internalize its value.
That's where you get real lasting adoption.
Okay, the final direct factor is facilitating conditions, or FC.
Facilitating conditions, FC. This sounds like, do I actually have the stuff I need to use it? The support.
Spot on. It's your perception of the available technical and organizational support. Is the infrastructure there?
Like, does the Wi-Fi work? Do I have the right device? Is there an IT help desk if I get stuck? Training materials.
All of that. The source mentions tech being installed, working properly, training availability, but it also adds things like feeling you have some control over the system and finding it flexible, not too rigid.
Ah, okay. So it's not just, is it there, but also, does it work well and can I get help?
Right. So you could have high PE think the tech is great, high E think it's easy, high SI everyone says you should use it. But if the system crashes all the time or there's zero support,
you're still not going to use it, or you'll hate using it.
Exactly. Facilitating conditions are foundational. Poor FC can undermine everything else. Okay, so those are the big four direct influences: performance expectancy, effort expectancy, social influences, and facilitating conditions. But the model also mentioned some indirect factors.
Yes, that's right. UTOT also identified some things that don't directly cause adoption, but they sort of moderate the effects of those four main factors. They influence how strongly PE or EE might impact someone's decision.
What kind of things are these?
They're mostly individual characteristics and the context of use. The model points to four main ones: gender, age, experience, and voluntariness of use.
Okay. And did the model find general trends for these?
It did, based on the data they synthesized. Generally, males tended to be slightly more influenced by performance expectancy, showing slightly higher acceptance overall. Younger individuals tended to adopt more readily than older individuals.
Okay.
People with more prior experience with technology, perhaps unsurprisingly, were generally more accepting of new tech.
That makes sense. Familiarity breeds comfort.
Right. And the last one, voluntariness, is quite important. If you choose to use a technology versus being forced to use it.
Big difference in attitude, I bet.
Huge. Voluntary users are typically much more accepting. Being compelled often increases resistance or lowers engagement.
So these indirect factors, age, gender, experience, choice, they add another layer of complexity. They shape how the main four drivers actually play out for any given person.
Exactly. They provide context. They help explain why two people might react differently, even if the tech and the direct conditions seem similar.
Wow. Okay, so pulling this all together, This UTACE-UTE model really gives us a much richer picture than just looking at tech features.
Definitely.
It shows acceptance is this mix of, do you think it'll help you perform? Is it easy enough? What do others expect? Is the support there? And then your own background kind of colors all of that.
It provides a really useful framework, I think, for anyone introducing new tech or trying to understand why something isn't catching on. It helps you look beyond the tool itself and focus on the user and their environment.
Yeah, it helps diagnose the human reasons for success or failure.
It's a roadmap for understanding the why. Are the problems related to perceived benefit or effort or social dynamics? Or just basic support.
Really practical. It shifts the question from, is this good tech, to more like, Are the conditions right for people to actually use this tech effectively?
That's a great way to put it.
Which leads us nicely into our final thought for you, the listener, to take away and chew on. Thinking about this UTAP model, consider a situation you know well where a new technology was introduced. Maybe work, maybe somewhere else. Now focus on just two of the factors, let's say social influences and facilitating conditions. How might the interaction between those two have played out in that specific context?
Interesting angle.
Yeah, like what happened if what people felt socially pressured to do, maybe by bosses or peers, clashed with the actual practical support or resources, the facilitated conditions that were available? Or maybe, how did good support perhaps overcome some social reluctance? Thinking about that interplay. What unique challenges or opportunities did it create?
That interaction between the social and the practical, yeah, that could be quite revealing.
Definitely something to reflect on. Okay, that wraps up our deep dive for today into the unified theory of acceptance and use of technology.
We hope exploring the UTAPE model gives you a clearer, maybe more structured way to think about why we adopt some technologies and resist others.
Absolutely. Keep PE, EE, SI, and FC in mind. Next time you see tech being introduced, try looking for these factors at play. Chances are, the reasons for its success or struggle are right there.